I knew this was coming.
Oh, you did? You thought...
David Naughton, right?
Yeah, I'm not bad.
Not bad.
Are you a maker? Is your child a maker? We're going to be talking about making things with a book called Making Makers. And you laugh every time I say that, Craig, just because it seems like it's... What is it all about? Anne-Marie Thomas, the author, is here to talk about that. Good morning, Anne-Marie. Thanks for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So how do you define a maker? What is a maker?
You know, a maker is someone who makes something. It's that simple. It could be food. It could be robots. It could be clothing. It could be two-story high giraffes.
Are we no longer making makers?
You know, it's interesting. I'm an engineering professor, and I've been realizing more and more that students were coming into engineering school because they were excited about the idea of making things, but they had fewer and fewer opportunities to create things on their own prior to college. And if you look at us as a society, we pride ourselves on making things and innovation, but we've been slowly taking away things like shop class or family and consumer sciences and home ec classes. And a study was done in 2009 by the Nuts, Bolts, and Thingamajigs Foundation that found that around 87% of U.S. teenagers spent less than 2 hours per week doing hands-on things.
So this book, what does it do? Share experiences of current makers and where their inspiration as a child came from and what we as parents can do to help our kids? What do you have in here?
Yeah, exactly. So I, you know, as a mom and as a professor, I became curious as I saw fewer opportunities for kids to really do this sort of making. Often, what the people that we celebrate, the innovators and inventors and engineers that we celebrate today, what they were like as kids. And so I spent the last couple of years interviewing over 70 inventors and engineers, makers, about their own childhoods, trying to see, you know, what it was that drove them to become who they are today.
Any common threads in there?
There were lots of common threads. You know, one of the big things was that they were all very playful and curious kids who had adults in their lives who were willing to kind of step back and let them explore, let them do things. They weren't very hyper scheduled as kids. They were exploring the world around them. Another common thread I'll say that was the uncomfortable one was, you know, they took a lot of risks as kids. There was a lot of explosions or chemistry sets in basements, and almost to a one, if I asked those makers if they'd let their own kids do those things, they said, "No way, it's too dangerous."
Well, you have a whole section in there. I think it was about you going to look for tools or something, and you're trying to find out, you know, tool kits that become plastic foam type of thing. What happened to wood and nails and metal?
It was heartbreaking. Yeah, I went out to get woodworking tools for my daughters, and I ordered a kit, and it was called Real Construction, and I got it, and it was for ages 6 and up, and it was foam and plastic tools, and which isn't very real to me. So I went out to the hardware stores here in Minnesota looking for woodworking kits, and I'll admit I lied. They asked me how old my kids were, and I said 8, and they told me that that was really young and that kids don't typically do woodworking till middle school or high school, and that they really couldn't help me, one of the bigger box stores. And the truth was my kids were 4. And if you look historically, you know, the Dewey School in Chicago, or you look at turn-of-the-century elementary schools, kids were pretty capable. Kids could hammer a nail at 5 or 4. So we've started to change what we think kids are capable of, and that's a little frightening to me.
I was reading that section, and it brought me back to when I was growing up. We had a wood burning set. You remember these things?
Mm-hmm.
Where basically you plug it in, you're holding on to this very hot thing that's surrounded by a cork, so that's the part that protects your hand, and then you're able to sketch on a piece of wood, a flat piece of wood, or a part of a tree, or and then you can kind of just make something out of it by burning, etching into that. I wonder if that's some, you know, do you have to go behind the counter and get to some alleyway to find somebody who sells that to you?
I mean, warning labels.
Well, that's the other thing too.
Yeah, you can even buy chemistry kits today that pride themselves in the fact that there are no chemicals inside. Safe, no chemicals.
Right.
And you know, that's frightening, because I always say it's like waiting until you get to conservatory before giving someone a piano. Kids have to build those hand competencies and that ability to explore and change the world around them. So if we take those opportunities away or we wait until they're older, we really miss out on giving them that chance to build up their sense of responsibility and their ability to assess risk.
So what are some of the things as parents we can do? Provide those tools or things? What do you suggest?
Well, so with my own kids especially, you know, one of the things is that we don't always have to be the experts. I think as parents, we always think that we have to know exactly how to do something and show our kids exactly how to do it. And, you know, the easiest way to get started is to jump in with them. Find something you're both interested in, you know, be it sewing, be it cooking, be it electronics, be it computer programming, and learn together. One of the nice things about the growing maker movement is that so many people are willing to share their time and their expertise. You can go online and there are project sharing sites like Instructables that have over 100,000 projects step-by-step photographed. Or you can find, you know, support sites like Make Projects or Adafruit, where people are sharing tutorials to do all of these different projects in a way that we couldn't do before the internet. You know, you'd have to go to the library, which is, I still recommend to parents with kids, but that you really can be an amateur with your kids and learn with them. You don't have to be the expert. You can be a maker too, and you can be playful, and you can take some of these risks with them.
You have different mini maker fairs that are coming up in Columbus and in Akron. Talk about what happens at these events.
Oh, these are fun. So the maker fairs are this worldwide kind of phenomenon now of people getting together to show the things that they make. I was with my own kids a few weeks ago at one where there were over 70,000 people, over 1,000 exhibitors showing things that they make, be it toothpick villages or 3D printers that are making furniture big enough to sit in, or little kids who have made, you know, really cool mechatronic devices. Probably the best part of these mini maker fairs, though, and I highly encourage all of your listeners to go to the ones in Ohio, the best part is really seeing kids interacting and jumping in and trying things and being taken seriously by these exhibitors. So if you walk around, and the exhibitors are, you know, normal people who maybe are lawyers by day and wood sculptors by night, or electrical engineers who, you know, build R2-D2 robots for fun. And the chance is just to wander and talk to people and celebrate this kind of can-do spirit of making things.
We're talking today with Anne-Marie Thomas, author of Making Makers. Your different chapters have different heads. We talked about risk, playfulness. What about optimism? How do you just sort of say, you know, well, you whatever you build is okay, or if it works, or continue on? What do you look for that?
The thing that really struck me as I talked to makers was the sense that, you know, that they could learn new things and they could create things. And you know, we sometimes get beaten down and think that we can't make a difference and problems are too big and we can't really do anything about it. And more I'd see these makers who are willing to just jump in and try. You know, even their small efforts, you know, maybe start, you know, could even be starting a little fair to get, you know, more making in schools. Or it could be there is one maker in our community here in Minnesota, two women who really wanted their kids to have clothing that was, you know, green and sustainable. And so they started their own sewing business, learned how to sew, found upcycled materials, and actually created a very successful business in our cities where they teach women to sew and they create this clothing. And they really did that from scratch, which sounds, you know, unbelievable when you think about it. But this can-do spirit and jumping in and just giving it a shot and seeing what happens is something I heard over and over and over again from all of these makers.
Anne-Marie, a few moments ago you put a big smile on Bruce's face, I want you to know, and you mentioned the nuts, bolts, and thingamajig, I think it was foundation?
Yes.
What is that?
So that is a foundation of the Manufacturers Society. And, you know, I came across them a few years ago when I was starting to do the research for this book, because they really are encouraging more hands-on exposure to manufacturing in the U.S., and they did this great study about how Americans don't tinker around with hobbies, home repairs. And they were polling Americans about, adults, about whether they did things around their house, and then kids about whether they did hands-on things like model building. And so that foundation, I think I misspoke it, it's the Foundation of the Fabricators, the Manufacturers Association International, and they produce a lot of different camps and opportunities for kids to learn about manufacturing.
I say just send them into the bathroom and say, look inside that toilet bowl, look in that tank, you see all that stuff? Try to figure that out.
Stop. Well, and that's a great start, and they're probably going to make a mess. And, you know, the good thing is houses and kids are very, very washable.
Exactly. You have a thing in there, though, that's interesting where you say you don't get to pick your children's interest. In as much as maybe you have some interest and you want to share, you have to be open to their left turn that they give you, right?
Yes, yes. And I think that's key. A lot of parents want their kids to be interested in the things they're interested in. You know, this is our we can expose them to everything, but we don't get to pick which one gets them excited.
The book is called Making Makers. If people are interested in that or any of these making fairs, what's a good place for them to check this out and maybe get inspired to start making things?
Sure. Well, I'll give you two sites. For the book, you can go to makingmakersbook.com. And if you're looking in for the fairs or you're interested in projects to get started, I highly recommend Maker Media's website, which is makezine.com. makezine.com, makezine.com, which will have lots of projects, particularly with Halloween coming up, and lists of fairs.
Well, Halloween is a good time to put some things together, and if it doesn't quite turn out okay, you can just say that's the way it's supposed to be. As, you know, Frankenstein didn't look so glamorous. He, you know, he worked, but he still
has a work in progress.
Exactly, very much. Anne-Marie, thanks for sharing the time. Appreciate it this
morning. Thank you very much. Have a great day.